Be among the first to experience Ardent Community's newest luxury apartments in Galloway, Ohio, the Pinnacle and the Reserve at Parkside Village. Enjoy spacious modern floor plans designed for comfort, style, and convenience. Amenities built around your lifestyle, beautiful finishes, thoughtful community spaces, and the perfect location. Move in now and live rent-free for 2 full months. Start fresh in a place that truly feels like home. The Pinnacle and the Reserve at Parkside Village. Call or visit ardentcommunities.com to schedule a tour or check out our rent specials.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Well, now, as volatility grips global energy markets, a stark divide has opened up across Europe's electricity prices. Ireland now finds itself at the very top of the cost table, while Spain, once equally exposed to energy shocks, has emerged as one of the cheapest. So what is driving that growing gap? Naomi O'Leary, Europe correspondent for the Irish Times, has been writing about this, and she joins me now. Naomi, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Now, looking at the table that you have assembled, it's quite stark. Wholesale electricity prices in Europe as of the 14th of April this year. Ireland is up there at €169.15 per megawatt hour. And Spain is about a quarter of that. I mean, how so?
It's really interesting because this wasn't the case in 2022 when we had the last kind of big price shock on fuel markets and in energy. So this is something that's a new development. And what we can see is that it's all to do with the role of gas in the electricity system and renewables. So Spain was badly affected back in 2022. And what they've done since then is they've really increased at an enormously fast rate, particularly their solar and their wind energy. And according to the Spanish government and also energy analysts, what's happened now is they've reached a threshold where they need to use gas much less often. So they're resorting to that gas less and less frequently. And then other countries are much more heavily exposed to gas, and Ireland is one of them.
Yeah, now looking at we are top of the league at 169, which in second place is Italy, 149, Hungary, 145, and they're getting Russian gas at a cut price, we presume, or were until Orban lost his seat. Slovenia, 144, Croatia, 143. Going down to the cheaper ones, we've got Serbia at 97, Finland at 94, Estonia at 92, France at 88, Latvia at 81, Lithuania 81, Sweden 67, Portugal 45, and Spain 44. So, we're an outlier, but there are others who are fairly expensive as well. What is the secret to Spain's achievement, though? Is it solar? Is because it's a sunny country, sunny peninsula, both Portugal and Spain?
It's the amount of renewables that they've managed to build into the system. So if we compare 2022 to now, in 2022, it was about 42% in the system were from renewables, whereas on that day that those prices were taken from, that it was about 65% of all energy used in the system was from renewables. In contrast, in Ireland, the rate is about 40%, and about 40% of our energy comes from gas as of 2024 anyway. That's really significant because of how the energy system is designed. So when we're talking about these prices, we're not talking about people's consumer bills that they pay at home. Those are different, and they're affected by things like taxation rates and network pricing and a whole load of variable subsidies and so on. These are wholesale energy prices. So the amount of the underlying electricity is costing to produce.
So what you're doing there in Spain is you're looking at an average of what is generated by wind, what is generated by solar. Maybe there's a little bit of hydro in there. I'm not sure. Doubt it very much. Not much anyway. And then a bit of gas. But the point is the gas proportion must be so low that it brings the overall price down.
So here's how it works. So in any given hour of electricity, the price is set in the market by the single most expensive type of energy that's used. It's called marginal pricing. Renewables are very, very low because the sun is free and the wind is free. And after your initial startup costs, they don't cost very much. But gas, when you have big price shocks like this, is very high. The role that gas plays in the system is it can be turned on and off really easily. So anyone who's familiar with a gas hob will be familiar with that. So it kicks in when other things are falling short, then the gas kicks in. And that because of marginal pricing, that means the price of of gas sets the price for all energy that's used in that particular hour, if it's used at all.
And are we the only country that uses this marginal price model, or do other countries use it too?
It's an EU-wide thing.
So how do the Spanish do it?
They don't. It's because they need to use gas very rarely, because they have so much renewables in the system. More and more of the time, more and more of the hours, it's just very cheap. It's a low, low price, rather than needing to use that gas, to resort to the gas, which is much more expensive.
Okay, so it's because of this marginal cost that we bring in gas fairly regularly. We need the top up, and they charge a high price because they're there on standby a lot of the time. So they do charge a high price because they're needed, and that's the way the market works. And then everybody, be they solar, be they wind, they all get that price, be they hydro, they all benefit from that high price given to the last unit in. Okay, Naomi, well, I'm not sure whether we can change that, because I have Lisa Ryan, Professor in Energy Economics at the School of Economics in UCD on the line as well. Lisa, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm very well. I've often been bemused by this idea that the last one in determines the price that they all get, because there's no encouragement there for anybody to, you know, make an effort at delivering something cheaply to the market, because they know they're going to get the top dollar.
Well, it's not quite as, I wouldn't say that, actually, because the reason we have marginal pricing is EU-wide. There's a wholesale electricity market that all countries bid into. And the reason is that we want to have one market, because electricity can be traded across borders, which is also very helpful when we have, stability issues, or we need to import from other countries. So you do need to have a market that's European-wide. And the reason that we have that marginal pricing, and it is the most efficient way to do it from an economic theoretical perspective, is because if you didn't have that, there should be only one price for electricity, right? Because once, doesn't matter where it comes from, once it's generated, those electrons are the same, whether they come from, on the grid. So there has to be one electricity price as a commodity. And if you didn't get the price that gas is setting, well, then people wouldn't invest in gas power plants. So what you'd have is maybe...
Yeah, but why not just give the gas price to the gas people and give the renewable price to the renewable people? I am mystified by this, absolutely mystified.
But then you would have several markets. If you want them all to bid into the same market, they do need to be in the same market, and you can't have different prices going on. But in fact, actually, what is happening is that we are starting to take some of the money back off the renewable generators. You know, so we saw this with the Ukraine crisis, that, when there were very high gas prices as well, what happened was that many governments introduced windfall taxes, where, in fact, renewable producers, they actually had to pay back. They were taxed on some of these extra profits. So the government is actually clawing back some of it. And another thing that's happening is that many renewable producers actually have a contract, like a subsidy contract. And if that price on that contract is lower than what the market price is, they have to pay back the difference. So it's actually, it's quite complex, the wholesale electricity market.
Yeah. But I mean, the point is, if the government claws back, or any government right across Europe claws back windfall taxes from the different providers, the renewable providers who are getting, if you like, their raw materials free, they have the cost of construction and so on, but the payback time is probably relatively short. They don't, when they claw back that money, they don't put it back into our pockets. You know, we don't get a subsidy on our bills, even though they're clawing back this money on this pretext that the renewables shouldn't be making all this profit. But they're not giving us the benefit of it.
Well, we did. If you think about it, during that period, we did get those energy credits. And, so the money that's coming back in, it belongs to all of us somehow. So we don't get it directly from the supplier. But in those days, we did get it back in the form of energy credits. Now we're getting excise duty relief. So these things do come trickle through to the consumer. If I just come back to the issue of the renewables, I mean, we definitely need to increase the amount of renewables we have in the system. Spain is in the lucky position that they have a lot of solar, which is very complementary to wind. So the price that Naomi was quoting there was from the 14th of April. So once you're starting to get into spring, obviously the days are longer, there's a lot more solar. Even in Ireland, we start to get a little bit more solar, and we are producing a bit more solar now, but it would be nothing compared to southern Europe. So, they can rely on maybe wind on some windy, darker days, and then they have solar on the brighter days. Mm. In Ireland, unfortunately, we're very... you know, we don't really have much apart from wind and gas, and we need to develop our wind supply a lot more. The other thing that's in Spain, they have, you know, 12% hydro, they have 20% nuclear. They have quite a diversified system compared to us, and that always helps. And if you look around Europe, the countries that have high shares of renewables, they have, you know, a mixture of different types of renewables that are very complementary to each other. And when we develop our offshore wind, we will have a much higher capacity for wind. And, you know,
if we need a dash of gas, we still end up with the gas price being applied to all of these, you know, much cheaper options when they're fully developed. So, I mean, there's something very wrong with this kind of system, that no matter how efficiently you generate your power, how cheaply you generate it, the punter still pays. I know you've been explaining the market, but it doesn't seem to me to be one that is punter friendly. It might be, you know, industry friendly, but it ain't punter friendly.
Well, it's a wholesale market. So I guess then the question is how you translate that into consumer prices. You know, I mean, we can be very positive about the Spanish market. At the end of the day, though, they did have a blackout 1 year ago. Yeah. Because they hadn't invested sufficiently in the grid. There's a complex range of issues there.
Yeah.
And so there are things that we can do. At the moment, though, we have, you know, on average about 40% of our electricity is coming from gas, whereas if you compare that with Spain, you know, there it's only 17%. The less grid you have, the less gas that you have in the system, that marginal price will be lower, just because the more expensive gas plants come on last. So if you can avoid those. But you do need to be able, we have a missing money problem, actually. As more renewables come in the system, the price has been dropping. And if you look at Wind Energy Ireland, they calculate every month what our price would have been without wind, and we would have been in a lot worse situation. So I guess the question is, you know, what would we look like in a system without renewables? Before that, we just had gas and coal. So, you know, that was definitely not a lower price situation either. So I think what we need to do is develop out the renewables, but we also need to put in place systems that we have a more flexibility. So if we could reduce our peak demand, so say it's, you know, 7 o'clock in the evening when everyone turns on, that peak demand is the most expensive electricity. If we can bring that down by bringing in more flexible demand, we will do an awful lot for our electricity prices. But that's something that's all still being developed right now in terms of markets and signals for customers.
Yeah, but the problem, I suppose, finally, Lisa, is that if we don't need gas very often, when we do need it, the operators will insist on a higher price because they'll say it's not worth our while being here at all unless we cover our investment costs and our raw materials. Anyway, look, thank you very much, both of you, for joining us. Lisa Ryan, Professor in Energy Economics at the School of Economics at UCD. And before that, Naomi O'Leary, Europe correspondent of the Irish Times.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.